Judges chapter number 15 is where we're going to be, but we're just going to spend most of our time in chapter 16. Judges chapter number 15 as we continue our series through Samson. Judges chapter 15, if we can. And we're going to start off in the last verse of Judges 15. Judges 15 and verse number 20. And then we're going to continue on into chapter number 16. Let's all stand if we can once we're there. Judges 15, and we'll start in verse number 20. Give our legs a little bit of a stretch as we jump in here to the life of Samson. Judges 15, verse number 20. Here's what it says. And he, that is Samson, judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. The idea here is that he judged Israel 20 years between what happened in chapter 15 and what happens in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse number 1, here's what it says. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. It was called told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means he may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Verse 7, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes or vines that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And the Lord of the Philistines brought unto her 7 green withes, which had never been dried, and bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes, and as a thread of trow is broken when it touches the fire, as thread breaks quickly, so his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if I bind me fast with new ropes that have never been occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me where thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waketh out of sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart, and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of her head. She began to afflict him, and then his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist or knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are so thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand some of these pitfalls of this man that should have accomplished much in his life. Lord, this man, Samson, I pray that you would help us to understand some of these so we can avoid them, so we can have a life that would be pleasing and honoring to you. Lord, work in your word, as it's presented here tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the life of Samson, and I've expressed on numerous occasions how Samson really is a man whose life had gone wrong. We looked in chapter 14 about how his marriage went wrong. We looked in chapter 15 about how his reactions went wrong. Today, we're going to summarize things and focus in on now the accumulation of all of the wrong decisions that he makes here in chapter 16 and how his entire life goes wrong. How could Samson, this man that had quite literally supernatural strength, ruin his entire life? How could it take place? Well, I'm going to look at three different ideas, why Samson ruined his life and how we can avoid the same thing. Number one, Samson failed to change. Samson failed to change. You see in chapter 15, there's a reason why we started in 15:20, because you see in chapter 15 and verse number 20 that he's been judging Israel for 20 years, meaning that for 20 years straight, Samson has been the leader in Israel, right? You would think over those 20 years, Samson would have grown a little bit. It's one thing to see a young person making dumb mistakes. It's entirely a different one to see someone 20 years older making the same dumb mistakes. But you see in verse number 1 of chapter number 16 that Samson really hasn't changed at all from what we saw in chapter 14 and 15. Look at chapter 16, verse number 1. First off, Samson continued his foolishness. You see that in the first phrase. Then went Samson to Gaza. Now you say, what's Gaza? What's so significant about Gaza? Well, Gaza was the capital of the Philistines. Now you might think, okay, Samson's going to Gaza to fight the Philistines, to go and to defeat the kings of the leader of Gaza. He's going to defeat this army. No, that's not why he's going. The next phrase continues on. Number one, he continued his foolishness. Number two, he continued his focus. Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot. The reality is that Samson's continuing in the same foolishness. He's always going to the Philistines, trying to be buddies with the Philistines, trying to find women from the Philistines, trying to get close to those people that he shouldn't. But number two, he's still continuing with the focus. Back in chapter number 14, you found that Samson married a woman of the Philistines because he saw her and because she was beautiful. Yet here, you see, again, Samson's doing the exact same thing. He sees a harlot, sees that she's attractive, and decides to go to her. He continues his foolishness. By the way, can I just say, folks, if you continue your foolishness, you will eventually ruin your life. If you continue to go the wrong way, go according to your wisdom, you will ruin your life. If you continue to focus on things that are temporary rather than things that are eternal, eventually you will ruin your life. He continued, number three, his fleshliness. In verse number one, it says that he saw an harlot and went in unto her. I don't have to explain what that means. He continued living according to the flesh. He's only all this time hardly ever focused on the Lord. The only time he's ever asked the Lord for anything or really talked to the Lord was at the end of chapter 15 when he felt like he was going to die of thirst. Here again, Samson has gone right back to the same patterns that we've seen all the way through, living after the flesh and what his body wants. Can I tell you, folks, we live in a world that lives after the flesh and what they want. And we as Christians should not have that same characteristic, should we? We should be different. We should live according to what the Lord wants. Y'all with me, folks? We should be living according to what God desires, not what we desire. He continued his fleshliness. Number four, he continued his flippantness. He, in verse number 2 and 3, you see that the people of Gaza gather around and lie wait, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we'll kill him. You see this whole crowd gather around waiting to kill Samson. But look at verse number 3. Yeah, imagine if you will, before we do, imagine if you will, this is your situation, okay? You have everyone in Apex, and they gather around your house saying, okay, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you were going to kill you. I would imagine if that was the case, you would go and you would try to maybe, especially if you had superhuman strength, you'd maybe do a preemptive strike. Maybe you'd try and get away. Maybe you'd try and escape. That's not what Samson does. Look at verse number 3. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. The idea here is almost that Samson knows what's going on. He knows what they're trying to do. But he's like, well, I'll take a nap for a little bit. Anyways, it's fine. It's not a big deal. I'll sleep until about midnight, then I'll get up and I'll do my thing. Rather than going and getting things taken care of, rather than responding in a normal, proper way, he's again flippant. You'll see that even more as we get through chapter 16. He continued his flippantness. Number 3, the difficulty is that God allowed him to continue his function, his power, his abilities. Samson lay till midnight, arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bars and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Quite literally, Samson goes and takes the gates. Now, gates at this point were very heavy-duty things. They were heavy posts, no doubt covered in iron because Philistines were known for that. They were covered in iron, and these things would be very heavy. He takes both posts, he takes the beam as well, puts them on his shoulders, and carries this gate 36 miles uphill the entire way and puts it on top of a hill in Hebron. Quite literally, he carries this gate for 36 miles. You say, if you were Samson, you would say, well, I guess God didn't really care so much that I went to see the harlot. Guess what? God really didn't care so much that I went and continued my own common practices. I guess it's not that big of a deal. Can I tell you, folks, the reality of our lives is this. Sometimes people think that because judgment hasn't come, that judgment will never come. Is that not true? You've seen people before, and they go and they say, well, I've been doing this kind of sin for years, and it hasn't affected me. I've smoked for years. It's not a problem. I've drank for years. It's not a problem. I've gone and viewed these things for years. It's not an issue. It's not a big deal. Nothing's ever happened. Well, can I say, just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And here Samson decides he's not going to change because everything seems to be okay. Remember back to chapter 14. He had already broke two of the three commands for a Nazarite, right? He had already touched the dead thing. He had already gone and been in the vineyard and taking part in that stuff. So he's already broken two of the three. And so here Samson thinks, well, it's not a big deal. God doesn't care. No, no, no. God still cares. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. If there's something in your life that ought not be there, don't think that just because God hasn't sent punishment, then that means that he doesn't care. God still cares. How did Samson's life go so wrong? Number one, because he failed to change. Number two, how did Samson's life go so wrong? Number two, because he fails to choose properly. He fails to choose. Fails to choose. Continue if we can. He fails to choose if we can, Steve, please. Thank you. See, his past criteria, you see in verse number 3, that there's, or verse number 4 rather, it says this, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now, we've heard about Delilah a lot, a few things about Delilah. Delilah was not his wife, okay? Remember, his wife was unnamed back in chapter 14. She's dead now, okay? So Delilah, number 1, was not Samson's wife. Number 2, I don't know necessarily that Delilah was a harlot. The harlot was from verses 1 through 3. So this seems to be a different person. It's a different place. It's not in Gaza now. It's in the Valley of Sorek. Totally different place. So this is a new person, okay? The third woman, if you will, in Samson's life. And here again, I would assume that Samson is following the past criteria. Now, we don't know what exactly is going on in Samson's mind, apart from what we see in verse number 4, that he loved this woman, from the valley of Sorek. Notice though, number one, his past criteria. His past criteria was always focused on what? The externals, right? He sees someone, she's beautiful. His dad says, hey, you know, don't you want someone that's an Israelite? No, I don't care. He just wants this woman because she pleased him well. Later on, you see the harlot, and she's beautiful, and so he wants her, and so he goes with her. Now he sees this new girl. Number one, his past criteria. Number two, his present crush, that he loved this woman, verse number four says. Now, we don't know if this was true love, if this was lust, if this was love according to Samson. We don't really know. But we know in verse number 4 that he says that the Bible says he loved this woman. In verse number 15, Delilah knows that he loves her. In verse number 15, he says to her, how canst thou say, I love me, when thine heart is not with me? So very clearly here, Samson is very infatuated with Delilah. Whether it's true, biblical, proper love or not, doesn't matter. He is very infatuated with Delilah. He loves Delilah. I would submit to you that most probably he loves her because of fleshly desires. But regardless, he loves her. But you'll notice something interesting. Delilah, despite the fact that he loves her, Delilah doesn't love him. Look at verse number 5 if we can. And the lords of the Philistines, by the way, let me just summarize what that means. There were 5 lords of 5 different cities of the Philistines. Think of like 5 different kings, okay? The king of the one in Gaza was kind of the top king, okay? So 5 lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we might prevail against him that we might bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So here's the idea. Number one, the pressing choice. Number one was against Samson. Number two, it was for herself. Against Samson. In verse number 5, it says very clearly, these lords of the Philistines tell her what she needs to do. Number one, she needs to deceive Samson. You see that in verse number 5. Entice him. You see that? The idea is you want to trick this guy. He really likes you, Delilah. So you need to deceive this man into listening to what you say. Number one, to deceive him. Number two, to ultimately destroy him. In verse number 5, it goes on to say exactly what they're going to do. They don't mince words here. Verse number 5, it says, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, that by what means we might prevail against him, so that we can overcome him. Number two, that we might bind him. Number three, to afflict him. So, 3 ideas that they want to do, right? They want to overcome him. They want to be stronger than him. Number two, they want to bind him. They want to bring him into captivity, so to speak. And number three, they want to afflict him. That idea is to torture him, if you will. So, picture this. Delilah has a choice. Delilah can choose right now to either listen to these lords of Philistines, or she can choose to go and to stick with Samson. The choice was not just against Samson, though. Number two, the choice was for herself. Here it says in verse number 5, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now notice it says each one of us will give you 1,100. So you take 1,100, you multiply it by 5, okay? You take how much a shekel weighed. That would be roughly, in today's weight, 700 pounds of silver. That would be $230,000. Okay, I did the math, okay? $230,000. This is not a small gift. You all with me, folks? This is a huge bribe. So Delilah has to choose. Is Samson worth $230,000 or is he not? And you know what Delilah chooses, right? This is not a foreign story to you. You've heard this before. What does Delilah do? She goes and decides to deceive Samson, does she not? She decides to try and trick. Are you all with me? Yes? She decides to try and trick Samson. Now catch this. I don't want you to miss this. Why did Delilah choose to deceive Samson? Did she do it just because she wanted the money? I think maybe. Certainly she wanted the money. But I think ultimately Delilah's choice reflects back on Samson's choice. You see, if Samson hadn't chose to go on after Delilah, then maybe this wouldn't have taken place. Delilah is a Philistine. She's from the Philistine area. She's already subservient to their kings. She goes and she wants money. She cares about that more than anything. Samson chose a fleshly girl, and that fleshly girl chose a fleshly desire. And by the way, can I just say, folks, we all have choices in our minds, or in our lives, do we not? We can choose to either follow after God and follow after what God wants, or follow after self and what self wants. You know what, folks? And we can easily make those choices. And we have to be careful and be cautious what we're choosing. Samson, up to this point, has almost every single time chose foolishly. And here, clearly, he did the same. He chose a woman that wasn't there for him, that wasn't going to stand by him, that instead was going to take the paycheck and run. And because of that, of course, destruction is coming. How do you avoid ruining your life? Number one, you have to be careful about your change and making sure that you're willing to change. Number two, you have to be careful about what you choose. Number three, you have to not fail to consider some things. Look at, continue on, chapter 16. Again, you've heard this story many times, but understand what's going on here. Chapter number 16, you see in verse number 6 that Delilah comes to Samson. Notice it, verse number 6. Delilah said to Samson, I find this kind of almost humorous if it wasn't so sad. Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. And catch the next phrase. And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. So here's the idea. Hey, tell us. Yeah, there they go down there. Tell us, okay, how we can beat you up, how we can bring you into captivity, how we can torture you. That's basically what she says. And rather than Samson being like, wait a second, what? This doesn't make sense, right? I mean, imagine if your wife said, hey, you know, I would love to bind you and to torture you. You know, how can I make that happen? Right? You'd be like, okay, this is probably not a great relationship, right? I might want to consider moving on here, you know? That's not what Samson does. Samson instead does what he's done all the way through the story. He plays with it. Look at it. Number one, he has this invincible idea about him. Look at it, verse number 7. Samson said unto her, if thou bind me with 7 green wits that have not been dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. He continues on from there. So he has this idea that he can't be defeated. It's almost his mindset. Now I know later on he says, oh, well, here's how you can defeat me. But I think even there, if you look at verse number 20, he still didn't think that God was going to leave him. He firmly believes that God is with him no matter what he does. You know what I mean? So let her do what she wants to do. It doesn't matter. I am invincible. And by the way, in a sense, Samson kind of was invincible, right? He was invincible from the Philistines, right? The Philistines couldn't harm him. They couldn't do anything to him. They tie him up. They bring him up to a rock. He goes and kills 1,000 of them. They lock him in a gate. He picks up the gate and walks away with it. You know with me, folks? Samson really can't be beaten by the Philistines. But there's one person that can defeat Samson, and that's who? Samson. Samson can defeat Samson. See, up to this point, he's gone against God. Chapter 14, verse 5, he's hanging out in the vineyard. Chapter 14, verse 8, he's taking the thing from the decaying body. So up to this point, he thinks God won't do anything about it because God's on his side and everything's going to be okay. Can I tell you, friends, just because God's on your side does not mean judgment won't come. You with me? And just because you think, oh, well, nothing can mess. No. You can destroy your life. You with me, folks? The devil won't destroy your life by himself, but you can destroy your life. Right? You can destroy your life. And here Samson fails to understand the simple fact that he is his own worst enemy. And by the way, can I just say, folks, if you don't realize that you are your own worst enemy, you are extremely naive. You and I are our own worst enemies. We can destroy ourselves. Number one, he had an invincible effect that sin caused. Number two, he had an inching effect that sin caused. Notice the progression here. In verse number 7, he talks about vines, things that are long, things that are tied. In verse number 11, he talks about rope, Then he goes to his own hair, weaving his hair together, and then finally cutting his hair. It's gradually getting closer and closer and closer to the real truth, is it not? He's getting closer and closer to, okay, here's what the truth is. First, he talks about these long things, and if you go and if you bind me to those. Then he talks about the rope, which would often be made of things like hair and things like that. Then he goes into his own hair, and then finally into the real truth. And by the way, can I just say, there is a reality of sin, that sin causes us to inch into more sin, does it not? There's a reason why people talk about gateway drugs. You do one drug, and guess what happens? You eventually go in to do another drug, and you do another one, and you do another one. Why? Because there's an inching effect that sin has in our lives. Sin gradually wants us, causes us, to want more sin. We inch along thinking, oh, well, there wasn't a problem with this, so I guess there won't be a problem with this. And I guess if there wasn't a problem with this, then there won't be a problem with this. And before you know it, what happens? We've gone and we've given away the thing that really matters. There's an inching effect. Number three, there's a blinding effect. Notice that in each of these four times, she does it. In verse number 9, she goes and she does bind him with the green withs. But more even than doing the binding, she actually goes and has Philistines come in, and the Philistines attack him while he's bound. You would think that would be like, well, wait a second, what's up with this? Right? What's the probability that when I get tied up by this thing that I just told my girlfriend would cause me to not have strength, what's the probability that the Philistines all of a sudden come on me? Well, then you go to the next time. Then you get the rope, and again, he's tied up. The Philistines are on you, and again, Samson goes and beats all the Philistines. She begs him a third time. Hey, weave my hair, tie it to the beam, weave it together, then everything will be okay. He comes out of the house with the beam in his hair and kills all the Philistines. You would think that Samson would be like, wait a second, something ain't right with this relationship. Right? This don't make sense. Because every time I tell her that this will make me weak, she does it, and then Philistines show up. Right? You all with me, folks? Is this not kind of stupid? It's dumb. Yes? Catch this. Sin does that to us. Sin does that to us. I just heard about a pastor. I would consider him at least a moderate friend. He was over in the Charlotte area, who seemed to be doing a pretty good work. I'd met him several times. Never had him speak here, but met him several times. I just found out that he had been having an affair for several years with a lady in the church. Just got voted out of the church, got out of ministry, all that stuff. Just a couple weeks ago. He had preached at a couple friends' churches. Seemed like things were okay. Why on earth would a pastor that's in our circles, doing a seemingly good work, why on earth would he do that? Because sin blinds us. Sin blinds us. Oh, well, it'll never affect me. It won't ever get me. No one will ever know. No one will ever figure out. People figure out. Don't be blinded by sin. Samson, before he was ever blinded physically, he was blinded spiritually. He was blinded by his sin. Number four, there was this constant effect. As he got more and more into it, you notice that the torment of not going further almost drove him crazy. Look at verse number 16. It says, "And it came to pass when she," that is Delilah, "pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart." So catch this. Samson thought, oh, I can just play around with it and it'll be fine, right? But the closer he got to the line, but then he didn't want to cross the line, right? The more torturous it was for him to cross the line. Am I making sense here? Let me make sense of it this way, okay? A lot of times people say, well, pastor, what about this? If I do this, this isn't sinful, right? If I just do this, it's fine. Well, friend, maybe that might be fine, but you got to be careful, because there comes a point where you're so close to the line that just another little step would get you over the edge, right? I took, when I was youth pastor, I took our teens on a mission trip out to Arizona, helping church plant out there. And while we were out there, we went to the Grand Canyon, right? Well, I had a bunch of very dumb teens, and I was afraid that one of the teens would fall over the edge of the Grand Canyon and die, right? It happens all the time with people falling over the edge of the Grand Canyon, and, you know, our teens are always like, oh, pushing each other. I'm like, guys, we ain't doing that, right? So we get to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Been there? Okay, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, the wall over the edge is only like this tall. It's like, what is that preventing? Like infants, you know, it's literally only like this tall. So you go up to the edge and it's literally like this tall, and then there's like a 200-foot drop, right? And I'm like, okay, guys, we're going to stay a little bit back because some of you are kind of klutzy and some of you are going to, you know, you mess around and we're not going to fall back, right? We're going to be careful, all this stuff, right? Well, in the process of this, I actually did some research just to kind of terrify the ones that would be stupid, and inevitably there would be some. There was a guy, and this guy wanted to kind of do a prank on some of his friends. So he came to the Grand Canyon, and he was like, you know, I'm going to go and act like I fall off the edge, but I'm not going to fall off the edge. There's a little, you know, in some of the spots, obviously it's cliffs and things. So in some of the spots, there was a little cliff, and that would drop about 5 feet, and then there was another one, and he was going to act like he fell off the ledge, land on that area, right, and then freak out his friends. So he does this. So he goes, you know, kind of runs up, kind of oop, trips, falls over the edge, hits that spot, but continues to slide and falls to his death. Well, one of the friends knew about it. He told his friend, and he's, you know, and so the friend's like, oh, no, he fell off. Oh, well, you know. And the rest of the friends are freaking out, and they look, and they're like, oh, my goodness, where is he, you know, kind of thing. And they look over the edge. He's not there. And so this other friend just thinks, oh, well, it's not a big deal. And I tell my teens this, and, you know, they thought it would be a great idea to try it. They didn't, thankfully. But the reality is, folks, the closer we get to the edge, the more likely we are to step over the edge. We have to be careful. There's this constant pressure in Samson's life because he's toyed with the line so much that he's right on the edge, and the slightest little pushes can get him off. Friend, there's a reason why we believe in separation in our church. There's a reason why we want to be cautious in our lifestyle. There's a reason why we need to be cautious about certain things that we behave and certain things that we do. Because there is this constant pressure, this constant push to go across the side. Do you not feel that? We need to be careful. Finally, what was the final step in Samson's life? Final step, really, the writing had already been done, but there was a desensitizing effect. Look at verse number 20. Perhaps one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible is in verse number 20 of Judges 16. It says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist or knew not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know that God wasn't there anymore. He didn't know that God wasn't working. He didn't know that he didn't have the power of God. Can you picture Samson each of these times before when he's overcome by these soldiers? He goes out, shakes all the soldiers off, beats them, kills them, whatever. Here, this time, he goes and he says, I'll just go out and do the same thing. All the soldiers are upon him, and he decides to try and get out, but all of a sudden, he doesn't have the strength to go and pull these soldiers off. Can you imagine Samson trying to grab a soldier, trying to pull him off him, but he can't do it? He's just a normal man again. Can you picture Samson going and trying to, again, have the victory, but yet that victory is gone, and he didn't even know why? The reason why was because every step of the way, Samson failed to change this behavior that was going to destroy him, kept with it 20 years. He failed to choose the proper people in his life. Because of that, these friends or romantic interests go and care more about themselves than about him, just like he did, cared more about himself than them. Finally, He failed to consider all of the roadblocks, all the warning signs, and eventually he didn't even know that he was past the last one. Friends, here's the reality of our lives and of your life. There are lives every day, Christian lives, good people, that go and waste all the potential that God had for them. Waste what could be done. Waste what should have been done. Potential is not just something that affects teens or affects kids. Potential is in any of our lives. Potential is something that can affect me. It's something that can affect you. It's something that God wants for you that you haven't been able to fulfill yet. You say, Pastor, I'm older. Doesn't matter. If God has you here, God has a purpose for you, and you can ruin all of that in just an instant. Be careful. Don't ruin your life. Don't ruin your life. Consider, are there things in my life that I should change that I just haven't? I've allowed it to stay, and I look through the years, and it's just the same. 20 years passed, he's still the same man. He hasn't changed. Are there some friends in your life, some romantic folks that really are, your relationship is built on flesh rather than on service and on love, true love? And you need to get that right. You need to square it away. And are there some warning signs that God's put in your life that you just haven't considered? You've just continued inching along thinking, oh, everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. God's fine with it. No, God's not fine with it. At some point, the last warning sign is there, and then it's the cliff. You got to be careful. We got to be careful. The life of Samson, a life that's ruined because of his behavior. Probably have one more message on it next week, but consider, okay, am I going the wrong way in my life? Friend, be careful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're not going to have a come forward invitation, of course, on this Wednesday, but a simple question for you and for all of us. Are there some things in your life, are there some things in my life that ought change that haven't? And you've gotten so used to it, you've gotten so complacent with it, you feel like you've almost been blinded to it. You're desensitized to it. And it's causing damage, and you don't even know it is. You say, Pastor, in some area there's something in my life that needs to be taken care of. I don't want to ruin my life. I don't want to ruin my potential. I want to do what's right. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for you, friend. If I haven't said that enough, he does. God has a purpose for me. I don't want to blow it. You say, Pastor, there's something in my life that I need to pray about. I need to get settled. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to the Lord? Something in my life that needs to be taken care of and settled. Anybody at all? Good, thank you. Some of us. Listen, if that's the case in your life, only you can answer that. That's between you and God. If there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of, then you need to get it taken care of. Only you can know. But don't be so blinded to think that it's going to be okay, because it ain't going to be okay. One day you'll give account of hearing this and not changing. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Make the right decision. Respond properly. Let's close in prayer if we can. Here's my challenge to you. If God dealt with you about something specific, then you need to deal with it specifically. I've said that so many times, but it's so important. Don't come into this place, have God deal with you, have God point something out in your heart, and then you go about just like nothing happened. Deal with it specifically. This is my sin. This is something I struggle. I'm struggling with my thoughts. I'm struggling with my actions. I'm struggling with what I say. I'm struggling with this behavior, that behavior. God, you pointed this out. Well, if he pointed that out, then don't continue the same way. That was the very first point. Change. Go and say, God, this needs to be done, and here's the steps I'm going to take to make it happen. It needs to be done. It needs to be done now, and I need to get it fixed. Get serious about it. Get serious about it. I firmly believe Samson could have been, should have been, one of the greatest characters in the entire Bible. Could have, should have defeated the Philistines, so David never would have had to worry about him. But instead, Samson decided to go his own way, and it destroyed him. Don't you do the same. Let's close in prayer if we can. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you that even when we fail, you are willing and ready to accept and to forgive. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize and to understand that you are also a God that is a God of vengeance, that is a God of wrath against sin, that will punish. Lord, if we go against you, Lord, we will face the consequences of that. Lord, help us to balance our understanding of your love with our understanding of your justice. Help us to realize that the areas in our life which are destructive, that are causing damage, Lord, must be taken care of and removed. Help us to be honest about our sin, Lord. Help us not to be blinded by it, to accept it, to continue on in the same pattern, in the same behavior. Lord, help us to get serious about it. Lord, help us to change the things that need to be changed. Lord, I pray for those that specifically were honest, that said there was something in their life that needed to be changed. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for their honesty. I thank you for them taking that first step and saying, hey, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I pray for the many of us that probably should have raised their hand that say, hey, there's something in our life that can be very destructive if we're not careful. Lord, help us to be honest with you. Help us to get it taken care of before it's too late. Help us to realize the issues that we have and to fulfill that potential, that desire that you placed us on this earth for. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. Be with our prayer time as we break up into groups. Work through that as well. Be with all the needs. Lots of needs are represented. I pray that you'd work through them. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Let's break up into groups if we can. It's a little late. If we can get two people from each group to pray, that would be great. If not, if you can only do one, I understand. But let's try and get two if we can. Don't forget about all the things coming up. Workday on Saturday. Homecoming on Sunday. God bless y'all. Thank you.